You're at the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Tailgates of Hell, it's week four. This stuff, like, we wait all season for it, especially back in the day, and it just flies by. And after this week, we're a quarter of the way through the season already.
Yeah, and I feel like I haven't even really, like, gotten into it. Killed me to the point where, like, I didn't care. Then I was traveling a little bit, and so now it's like I'm feeling a little bit better this week, and so now I'm starting to get back into it. But it has been a weird start. I just have not been as cognizant of everything that's going on, you know, outside of the Giants as I normally would be.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's probably part of getting old and wanting to. I mean, these you really like, especially I think back to like, I mean, I say maybe 10 years ago, where I literally lived indoors on Saturday and Sunday right. in September, October, and November. And those are right. such, like, pristine days. Last week, I actually took my TV outside and made – because I'm like, I'm nice. Not – there's no way I'm wasting this day. And luckily, hey, it was a pretty good weekend. The Redskins looked all right.
Yeah, biggest party under the sun part three, huh?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was just me, myself, and I blew up a big inflatable Redskins man and put it on the hill in my backyard. My neighbor came over. He was like, are you having a party? I looked at him. I was like, nah, it's just me in the back if you want to come over and have a beer and hang out. So,
yeah, that's funny.
Week four is coming up, but we'll take a quick look back at – we don't need to look back at week three because it's 4 or 5 days ago. But we'll just kind of look at the state of the NFC East right now. Two teams at 2-1, the other two at 1-2. We'll keep starting with the Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions. Through 3 weeks, they have not looked good at all. And they had the Colts – knocking on the doorstep to win that game at the end.
Yeah, I know. I can't. I wish the Colts would have pulled that off. But yeah, you know, they're just a team right now, no doubt about it. I did not see. I saw almost no football. I saw parts of the Redskins game and the Giants game, but not these games. But you know, Wentz, from what I didn't really look like he was, you know, all world Carson Wentz anymore.
Which
so
is to be a little bit expected. I mean, absolutely. You know, first game back after almost a year off.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so I don't know with this team. You know, we've said it 100 times. They were sort of Lady Luck's team last year. They took a ton of chances and they were able to, you know, execute. And this year, you know, some of that shines off. So right now, to me, they're just a team in the hunt, defending Super Bowl champions. So they're expected to be good. But, you know, right now they don't look like, you know, the all world dynasty team that I think a lot of those idiots in Philadelphia were hoping for.
No, but I guess the one thing in the NFC is, all right, you put the Rams aside, everybody kind of stinks. like they're, everybody's an 8-8 football team, I feel like.
Yeah, I actually feel like the whole league sort of stinks this year through the first three weeks.
Like, yeah, it's been that way for. I mean, you get the really, really good quarterbacks, but I even look like at a team like the Packers. And, you know, going into that game last week, I was pretty confident because, yeah, they got Aaron Rodgers, but that team sucks. Like, right, after absolutely. Him, it's amazing that he has done what he's done with that team over the last few years. But they're not good. The Rams are good. The Vikings, I mean, what the hell happened there?
That was quite shocking. But I mean, let's take a look at the undefeated teams: the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Rams. Obviously, so the Rams
and Chiefs look good. I mean, yes. The Dolphins.
No
I
way.
Mean, you're 3-0. You're 3-0. But no.
No way. No way. We'll see that likely ends this week. So it's a strange year. It's anybody's year. Which I will say, I feel like the games have been pretty good though this year, and it may just be because there's not like a truly dominant team. So the games have been pretty competitive. We're recording this Thursday night. Looks like it's gonna be a good game tonight. So I think from that aspect, it's been a pretty good year. But yeah, there's nothing. Maybe some teams will start to separate, but I'm just looking at it like, you know, everybody's sort of within one game of each other. So let's see what happens.
And it'll probably be that way, you know, through the rest of the rest of the season. And you, basically every year in the NFL, everybody's an 8-8 team. You get maybe four or five teams who are really good, four or five teams who are really bad, but everybody else is just kind of, you know, scenario watching once December hits.
And, so, you know, the Eagles are what they are right now. The Redskins, you know, certainly had a little bit of a scare, I guess, to see sort of get that feeling that maybe the Packers were going to rally in that game. Maybe not. I didn't see a ton of it, but
I mean, I watched it. There was one point where I was starting to get nervous, and I mean, the Redskins were the better team last Sunday. There's no question about it. I mean, the Packers made more mistakes. They dropped balls. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was awesome on one, not even one good leg, I think, because he pulled his other hamstring compensating. But yeah, they were the better football team. I want to get through the four teams and then get into the I mean, really, the only thing in the NFL to talk about right now is the roughing the passer.
Right.
While I don't think that caused the Redskins to win the game, because they didn't even score on the drive that it occurred on, it definitely was a momentum swing. And really, after that happened, I never really felt that, you know, Green Bay was going to get back into that game. But, you know, from the Redskins, you got three data points right now. You got week one, week two, and week three. Two of the weeks, they've looked awesome. You know, even in both of their wins, they didn't just squeak by. They were a really good football team from right at the beginning to right at the end. But then in week two, I mean, they just laid such an egg. And, you know, that's been the problem with Jay Gruden football teams and the Redskins the last, I mean, I think this is his fifth season now, is you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, usually when they've played good teams, even if they didn't win, they played really, really well. And then games they're supposed to win, they just don't show up. And, like, I mean, case in point, the biggest glaring one is that Week 17 against the Giants 2 years ago when they were playing. I know they played the Giants played their starters the whole time, but you can't tell me that they were real. I mean, they were just going through the motions trying to catch their flight to Miami, and their skins threw up all over themselves. It was terrible. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with going into the bye 2-1 is what I expected to be a good case scenario for the Redskins, and it just they won one of the games I thought they'd lose, and they lost a game that I thought they should have won.
That Week 4 bye sucks.
It's terrible.
I mean, I say this every year. I don't know why they do this, why they don't just – I mean, I know why they do it because they need a certain amount of games, but I don't know. That's a tough haul to come back.
13 straight weeks they got to play now.
Yeah, so that's tough. I mean, I don't know. The bye, I think, is a little bit overrated, but still – to go without getting that break, you know, more midseason is pretty rough. Speaking of breaks, my mental well-being got a break this week. All I can say is Eric Flowers. I mean, you want to talk about taking one guy off the field and changing the entire mental capacity of a team, the mental toughness of a team. It was incredible how different that team looked. Now, there's actually a couple things going on here. One is Greco, who was the backup journeyman center, is now the starter due to the injury to Helipo. And this is a guy who's been around the block. He's a good player. You know, he's seasoned, and I think that definitely helped from the center position. But I mean, Chad Wheeler is really not that much better than Eric Flowers. He didn't have a great game. I mean, he's up against JJ Watt, and you know, he definitely had his hands full. But I think the problem is Eric Flowers is just a lazy sack of crap, and Chad Wheeler tried hard. You know what I mean? Like, he actually gave an effort.
The perception makes all the difference in the world sometimes.
I mean, it is crazy. And it was like all of a sudden Eli, who was jumping around, checking down, looked terrified the entire time against the Cowboys, looked like Eli of 2013, right? 2011, just balls on the mark, scoring touchdowns. Spraying the ball around to everybody. Touchdown by Red Ellison. Over 100 yards from Shepard, from Beckham. Ingram was having a good game before he got hurt. He's likely out about a month. And then Saquon Barkley just looked like a man-child out there. He actually reminds me of Tiki Barber, only better, in the way he sort of bounces off defenders and runs and can catch the ball. I mean, that offense looked so much better. They came out in the first half or the second half, and it looked like – I don't know if the Texans were stunting more on them or the Giants were changing up their play calling, and it looked like a disaster in the making. Because the Texans came right back into it. Mm-hmm. And then Eli did something that I have not seen him do in probably 5 years. Marched him right down the field, iced him, put the score in. And, you know, that's the sort of offense we want to see. First time they've put up over 20 points in like 2 years. I mean, it's just insanity how bad this team has been. So they got a terrible Chad Wheeler. At least not quitting on the field and understanding protections, which may help. They're going to get Vernon back. They're going to get Apple back. They're going to get this defense going. The defense played well. So, you know, some hope for this team. Big game coming up against the Saints, try to get back to 500. And I think that Giants team was the Giants team people expected to see, you know, to start the season.
Right. Well, they didn't look like that the week before against the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys certainly didn't look like they looked against the Giants against the Seahawks. Ugh. That's really it. And I forget who I saw. Somebody on Twitter said, I think my favorite NFL storyline right now is the streak of Dak Prescott throwing for under 200 yards.
I mean, that's incredible. This is a very bad player right now.
Right. What if they didn't have Ezekiel Elliott? Like
you got to give props to him because he's actually, like on pace to break his rookie year. I mean, it's only week three, so we'll see what happens. But he's ahead of where he was that first week on less carry.
Right. And people are so dialed in on
like,
that now.
This guy. Right. Exactly. So I don't know. It's a crazy thing. Dax. I don't know. I mean, obviously they came out and whooped the Giants, so I can't sit here and be like, oh, these guys are terrible. But I think what I said about them 2 weeks ago before they whooped the Giants is true. I think they're a terrible football team.
I mean, so they played on the road twice. They'll be back home again. I don't know what it is. They're just not good. I mean, they were not from the get-go. They were not into that game in that game at Seattle. And Seattle's not a good football team this year either.
Seattle's just as bad. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this team sort of like shakes out in week four because they had one really good week, two bad weeks. Are they going to sort of go back down, come back up? I just think for the Cowboys now, they got to be thinking, regardless, like forget even that they are, you know, the bad first week. Just throw everything else out except the fact that Dak Prescott cannot throw for over 200 yards in a game.
Right. And, like, it's almost that rookie season. And if he doesn't have that good rookie season, he's not playing football for them right now. Maybe he's their backup. But I don't – like, some people were saying they'd rather take Tony Romo, like, off – And I mean, you used to like, I remember watching Tony Romo and the crap he would pull out of his ass every week to just, I mean, you get none of that with Dak Prescott. Like he's not dynamic at all. He can't like, unless Elliott is rushing for 200 yards, they're just not a dynamic offense. They have no wide receivers and
They're bad.
That's really it. They're just not good.
I almost wonder like, will the Cowboys try to make some sort of move? I don't know. I think they got to ride with Prescott, but they got to be thinking in the back of their heads, like, okay, what's our strategy for next year?
Right.
Right. Because they can't sign Prescott, who I'm assuming is probably coming up to his last year.
I think their option, I think they have an option on him this year. Cause it works differently when you're drafted in a low round. I think you only have 3 years with maybe an option for a fourth. So yeah, because they're almost painted into a corner now because he had such that great rookie season. He had some, you know, games here and there, but he's just, that's not a good situation in Dallas.
Couldn't happen to a nicer team.
Oh, I know. It makes me so happy. Roughing the passer. I mean, did you watch the Monday Night Football game, the Bucs Steelers?
I caught some of it, but it was getting so out of hand that I just, like, I couldn't.
There must have been six or seven roughing the passer penalties. So I think there's 36 going into the Thursday night game. And I want to say last year at this time there were 16. And I don't – like, I'm all for protecting the quarterback, reasonably speaking. But, like, this is just – so 2 weeks in a row, Clay Matthews, he's kind of becoming the poster boy. And the whole – like, the ironic thing about the whole thing is this rule is only in place because Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year. So
right.
Part of me laughs that it's just affecting the Packers, you know, at the level that it is. But – I mean, I think it was Deshaun Watson that came out this week. So you got quarterbacks who are now speaking out against how stupid this rule is. And the NFL, you know, it's like one of those things, I hate you, but damn, I respect you. Like, they just continue to double down and say that these ridiculous things are the correct calls, and it's just insane.
I mean, the Clay Matthews one, it was, without hyperbole, the worst call I've ever seen in my life. And I think I texted you, like, that is the play where, like, pro football as we know it is officially dead.
Right.
Right. I mean, this whole body weight, it is the most absurd rule. And I go back to that time Chris Collinsworth 2 weeks ago said on Sunday Night Football, well, this is the can't put your body weight onto the quarterback rule. Like, just the fact that those words were said is insane. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know how you defend that. I agree with you. The NFL is just going to thumb their nose and say, whatever, this is the rule. But
defensive end for the Dolphins who is trying to avoid putting his body weight on the guy and tore his ACL?
Right. I know. It's so if I was a defensive players in the NFL have certainly been griping for years. They definitely have a lot of points to that situation. You know, it's like, what can you do? You got to go for a guy's knees because you can't hit him up high for fear of getting a
But you can't tackle. Do that to the quarterback. You can't go low and
– Yeah, right. Right. So what do you do? What do you do?
I don't know. I think
drop
this
– kick him? That's what I would do.
This is getting to a point where one of these coaches or players is going to go like – ape shit on the field. And I mean, Mike McCarthy looked like he was about to.
I thought Mike McCarthy was going to stroke out on that sideline. I mean, he's not a well man anyways. You know?
But, like, I mean, I'm talking like headphones throw, like sitting in at the 50-yard line, just freaking out and creating such a big deal, like a baseball manager would
right.
when they flip out over a call. Like, it doesn't happen in the NFL. It would be leading the freaking Today Show and Good Morning America the next. Like, that's what it's going to take.
Well, you know who it's going to be.
Who's that?
John Gruden.
Oh, God.
I mean, I was watching, I don't know, it must have been a Monday or Thursday night game a few weeks ago. It had to be Monday night. There was a point where, like, he was 15 yards into the field off the sideline just walking around like a crazy man. So, anyways, it's incredible. I mean, I actually agree with you that I think, like, a player may get up and like shove a ref or something over something, you know, a bed. And I mean, if a play like that, I mean, we're in week three. If we're talking about postseason on the line, a postseason game, the Super Bowl, and something like that gets called and costs a game.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do?
And I mean, it already happened last week to the Packers. They beat the Vikings if it wasn't for
that's
these
true.
Plays.
That's absolutely true.
Oh, so we'll see. It'll be another fun week of this. Hey, the one thing that we're doing pretty well right now is our locks. Undefeated.
Yes. All right. I like that.
So we got to keep it rolling because the one thing that's going to increase listenership and just have the dollars flow into us is if we're making money for other people. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at the slate this week yet. I have my lock.
Go for it.
I don't know if you're going to like this lock or hate this lock because okay. I'm taking the Giants +3. First of all, the Saints suck. They are masquerading in last year's success. They cannot stop anybody.
Yeah.
Their offense is, I mean, they got a good offense. Like, I'm not going to say they suck, but they scored 18 against the Browns, but it was all basically when the Browns handed it to them. I forget who kicked their ass in week one. Like, they're just not that good.
Yeah.
They're giving the Giants 3 at home. I usually just look and I'm like, what's the line they're trying to get me with? It was between that for me and Arizona +3, but Arizona's just so bad that I couldn't. At least the Giants, I feel like, have a hope of being okay this year. Not great, but okay. Yep. The Cardinals are god awful, so I'm taking the Giants +3.
All right. I like that one. I was a little surprised to see the Giants be the home dogs, but here's an interesting one for you. So I've got two that I was keying in for. Okay, my first was New England at Miami. So New England was a 7-point favorite at home, and I was thinking that the Dolphins may make a run in that game. Then I'm thinking the Patriots may come out and just clobber them, and you know, not lose again.
One
until
and
next
three,
year.
Yeah, that's right. Not happening.
But the game I like is the Bengals to cover. 4-point dog in Atlanta. You know, the Bengals are okay. They're first place in the North. You know, they're not all world or anything, but they're 2-1. So I'm sorry. They're 2-1.
Yeah, they're 2-1.
So you know, I don't know. I think they can play. They put up over 30 points in every game. I think they can hang with the Falcons.
I agree. And I think that's another line that they want. Yeah, I mean, they're begging you to bang the Falcons. And yeah, that's a good one. So, all right, your picks this week. We've been all over dogs this season, too. I love it. Giants +3. Cincinnati.
We should wear those stupid masks that the the Eagles did bring us some luck.
Yeah, for real. And the Cincinnati Bengals +4. Those two locks of the week. We'll get the stank rankings on the other side on the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, we talked about we're in week 4. These things, they come and go so quick. I love the stank rankings. It's your week, so hit me with them. Who we got?
All right, this is like it warms my heart that I think this is the first time I've been able to say
this. This is the moment.
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns, number 28. Still there.
They still have to be there because it's just like the stink rankings would not be fun without the Browns, but
right.
They're way better than the 28th team in the league. I will tell you that much.
Absolutely.
That was awesome to watch. Like, that place was, it's hard to find, like, you know, where you get that like electricity in stadiums in the NFL, but like watching those people, and it was pretty cool.
Unlock the beers.
But when the Jets, I was cracking up when the Jets were up 14-0 in a blink of an eye, and I was like, oh my god, they're gonna, like, this was supposed to be the night everybody was ready to celebrate, and then they were gonna get blown out of the building. But
yes.
Hey, good for them, good for that team. And, hey, Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I mean, you could just – poor Tyrod Taylor. I mean, he was getting killed.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do? Baker, you know, Baker Mayfield is the real deal, I think. So we will I did not think that, you know, until very recently. So good for the Browns. As I texted you, our long national nightmare is over for the Browns. So number 29 – we've got a team that I thought this would never happen. The Buffalo Bills, who just stink, but put a wallop on the Minnesota Vikings, a, you know, Super Bowl quote-unquote favorite.
Yeah, so I had the Vikings in my survivor pool last week, and I'm watching the Redskins game, so I didn't see any of this game, and it's 7-0, it's 10, or yeah, I think it was 10-0, 7. What the hell's going on? And I keep expecting the Vikings to come back. One of two things. I didn't see it, so I don't know how well Josh Allen played. Hey, maybe he gave him a spark, and he's pretty good too. But this just reeks to me of a Vikings team that was looking at the best team in the league in the Los Angeles Rams playing on Thursday night, just looking ahead.
Yep.
They should never have lost to the Bills. I thought the Bills would be 32 year all year long. They may fall back down there, but hey, good for them. At least for 1 week, Bills fans have something to root for.
Don't think that'll last. Number 30, huge disappointment. A team that now all of a sudden sort of looks like that they are, you know, a disaster, a real disaster in the making, franchise sort of falling apart disaster.
Who's the team?
Oh, the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the hell? So they bring John Gruden in. They're 0-3. I mean, they suck. Yeah, I mean, there's no way to really beat around it. I think they did have a lead. I mean, they played the Broncos last week. This shows you how much I've watched the AFC West. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how fans are going to care about that team because they may leave next year, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the plan. And you know, the pick. And then they have the terrible year. Jack Del Rio gets fired. They bring in Gruden. They lose Mac. And then I don't think Gruden really likes Carr. So I don't know. It's one of those things. It could just be like a perfect, like, Mark Davis Raider special here.
At least they got John Gruden for 10 years, $100 million.
I feel like Gruden's going to be fired before they even get to Las Vegas. So.
God, how funny would that be?
We'll see. Number 31, a team that for a few years was ahead of the game. You know, not the terrible team it's been for years, but now back in for their rightful place as a terrible team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals.
My God, Sam Bradford. Like, I mean, you knew when they signed him this was going to be a disaster.
I think you called him, like, the biggest, like, con artist in the history of the NFL.
He is, but people just keep giving him more and more and more money. And, hey, good for him. Like, I would take everybody's money, too, but, man, he stinks. Maybe they didn't think Josh Rosen was ready, which is fine. There's plenty of guys. I mean, see Ryan Fitzpatrick, guys like that. Maybe who don't play as good as him, but just who you could have put in there. I guess Sam Bradford would fall into that category now that I think of it. But he sucks. They suck. They signed David Johnson to that nice big deal right before the season. But I mean, I watched them against the Redskins. They've lost two more games. They were up pretty good against the Bears. Blow it again. They're in for a long season.
Yeah, Rosen's starting this week, so we'll see what happens. God, they're bad. Number 32. Oof. Another team with an overhyped quarterback, an overhyped star defensive player, going nowhere. The Houston Texans, the 32, the stankiest team on the stank rankings.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, someone's got to supplement where the Browns were. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were a team that comes in with a lot of, you know, hype. I mean, they lost to the Giants last week. I'm sorry, but, like, I mean, at home. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson because he was lighting the league on fire last year. And you know another guy this happened to? Tore his knee was Robert Griffin III. And
that's right.
It was, you know, kind of that same deal. And, hey, I don't know a whole lot about Deshaun Watson. RG3 couldn't pass in the pocket. I don't know how Deshaun Watson looked, you know, over the last couple weeks. But I know last year he got out of the pocket quite a bit, and that was a big reason for his success. But, yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt's had so many injuries. You know, is he even close to what he used to be? I don't think so.
I mean, he's still a pretty good player, but, you know, I tell you who's a terrible player is Jadeveon Clowney. Whatever his name is. Clowney.
Can't miss on the number one picks. And then I think Bill O'Brien is just a clown. He's not a good football coach at this level. I mean, I know he's good at Penn State, but he's not good here.
I was sort of hoping that if he got fired last year, the Giants would hire him because I just sort of felt that he was, could be a good coach. But he basically convinced the owner to fire the GM and go with him. And he's, you know, GM's probably or the owner's probably regretting that decision right about now. So congratulations, Houston Texans. You stank.
Yeah. So Kirk Cousins hooks up with Aldrick Robinson. Vikings are up 7-0 on the Rams. This is probably the game of the week, and it's on Thursday night. So we're going to get off here, and at least I'm going to go have something to drink and go watch it. So Ben David, Jason Jaconia, Tailgate to Hell podcast, NFC East podcast for the common man.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.